Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are here. We are here on the island, down in Stony Island. Yes, yes. And I always love telling those people where I'm going to be in the coming week. When I know I'm coming, I tell them I'm going to the islands. And they always ask, "You really? Where you going? You know, how much does it cost? How long are you going to be there?" I say Stony Island, Stony Island. They say, oh, right. Okay, that makes sense. But it feels good, always feels good to be here with you guys. You know, I love it, and I just thank God for it. We serve a great God. Amen. We serve a great God, a God of all power. God of all, you know, all comfort. He's a great God, and he's a great father to us all. And sometimes, you know, we forget sometimes that God is not just a God who sits high, but he is a God who looks low. And he doesn't just look low, but he seeks to live and abide with us. And I believe that is what the whole story of the Bible is about. God's habitation with his people. You read it over and over from the beginning of the Bible to the end and all in between. God is reconciling his people to himself. The story of love, the story of him just going out of his way more and more for undeserving people. I don't know why, but he says he loved us so. Even to the point of sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. So that we can come back to him, be reconciled to him. And so that he will tell us he is our God. And we can look up to him and say, yes, we are your children. That's really what it's about. So when we forget that, we forget everything. You forget everything. You forget all that the Bible contains, all right? So never forget that. God wants his habitation to be with you. And you should want your habitation to be with him. I understand people look forward to heaven. Oftentimes they look forward to heaven because of the things that they may feel are in heaven, you know? But here's the thing. The Bible says very little about heaven. It says very little about the spiritual place that we will live in someday. But it does talk about his habitation with us. It does talk about the new Jerusalem coming down from the heavens. It does talk about his bride, and that's us. And it does paint a picture of us in like a physical fashion. But sometimes we get it mixed up and we think that is how heaven is going to be. But he is telling us that is how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be like his jewel. We are supposed to be like those streets of gold. We are supposed to be like, yes, like that habitation of the Lord. So in this lesson, I want to talk about bearing the essence and the image of God. I want to talk about God truly living and dwelling with us. I want to talk about God's grace and how he shows it to us by giving us his Holy Spirit. Sometimes that is the forgotten part of the deity. You know, in the churches of Christ, sometimes we forget to mention the Holy Spirit. We talk about Jesus. Definitely we talk about the Father. But sometimes we get afraid of talking about the Holy Spirit. Maybe we get afraid of, you know, going into the space of talking about what the Holy Spirit may do for us today. But the Holy Spirit does do many things for us today. It may be not be those miraculous things, and they'll give us those miraculous gifts that they once had in the apostolic age. But we know that we still live in a day and a time where we need the Lord's presence in our life. And how do we get it? Nothing but through Jesus' spirit. Amen. You could call it Christ's spirit. You could call it God's spirit. You could call it the spirit of the Father. You could call it whatever. But it's still God's spirit. And we need that gift. We need that gift in order for God to tabernacle with us. So this spiritual concept, it is not, you know, physical, but it has great physical impact. It has great physical consequences. It has momentous, I would say, consequences. So the gift of God's Spirit, which was read earlier, God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit making their dwelling place with us or in us, It comes from, you all know, Acts chapter 2, 38, where it talks about how we were supposed to obey the gospel by repenting of our sins, being baptized, and then we will get the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will get the gift. We don't deserve it, but we get the gift of God dwelling in us. Marvelous gift. That is a marvelous gift of grace. And when we talk about grace, we talk about something that's undeserved favor. Yeah, something that, you know, sometimes we struggle with giving people that, but God continues to give it to us. So we are, in a sense, when we become a Christian, when we become a child of God, yes, and we continue to live and learn the will of God. John 14, 23 says, and that's what was read earlier, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come. We will come to him and make our home with him." What is he talking about here? Is he talking about something that has to happen in the future? Is he talking about something that we cannot exhibit and have in this life? I beg to tell you, he is talking about something that happens right now. Each and every time you dwell on his word, each and every time where you let his word just dwell in you, you meditate on his word day and night, you feed on his word like that is your true bread. He comes to you. He abides with you. It's not a very hard concept. You know, I know we talk about how God lives in us, and we talk about, well, how is, you know, God in Christ and Christ in God the Father? How does that make sense? That's only talking about unity. We're talking about unity of purpose, of mind. We're talking about trying to get the fellowship and the harmony with them. That's what it means to abide in Christ and have Christ abide in you. So I would say we are like God's mobile home. When you are really trying to live out Christ's words in you, yes, you are God's mobile home. He is living in you, but guess what? You're not sitting still. You are moving, and he wants you to be his home. So anybody ever seen MTV Cribs? Has anybody ever seen, I think something before that was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or something like that? This is where they would have a film crew come into these people who might have been well known. They were rich. They had some money. They had something, you know, some fame. And they would invite us in through television. They would invite us in just for a little while so we could see how they're living, right? We could see how big their house is. We could see how many rooms they have. We could see even in their garage all the cars they have. You ever seen something like that? All right, good. So understand this. God wants you to be his MTV crib. He wants you to be the show that he shows the world. You are his house, and he is doing great things and marvelous things in you and in your life. He wants us to go. So just think about it right now. If you are God's MTV crib, you are God's dwelling place, what would he do when the film crews come his way? Will he be able to come and open his doors and say, "Come on, look in my house. I have some great things to show you"? Or will he be ashamed and say, "I did not expect you guys coming. This work is not ready. Hold up. Maybe in another few years, right? We'll see." But this, no. Will he be ashamed to show you off to the world? Or will he be happy to show you off to the world? That's what I want to talk about today. That personal indwelling. So I want to tell you something. If you didn't know, God rescued, he redeemed, and he gifted you with new identity, with new purpose. And sometimes we have identity crisis and we forget that. But we were bought. We were not leased. We were not rented. We were bought with a price. I know sometimes we want to act like he rented us for a time. God lives in us sometimes. And then, you know, it's that time. It's about that time. God, you need to go for a second. Let me handle my business. Do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And then when I'm ready, you could rent another space in me. But that's not the way God did it. No, God, he gave his son. He paid the price. The Lord says you were bought with a price. And he says he purchased you from the dominion of darkness. That means he gives you new identity. He gutted and cleansed his house, and he even cleansed it of its history, its past. Think about your life. Think about what he took out your life. Think about what he has cleansed you of, all the sins you might have committed. How he washed you of them. He did not just cover them up. No. He washed you clean of those things. Yes, he invested in you. He gave you justification. He expunged you of your past and, you know, even the past property deeds. You know, property has deeds. You know that? Has a deed, right? And all the times that all the owners that had you before that, guess what? He cleansed you of that. All those demons that might have been in you, inhabiting your life, inhabiting your soul, the things that clinged on to you and would not let go. We know that when Jesus says, get out, what happens? They get out. And he did that to you and in your life, if you are abiding in his word. He says that he gave you justification. Now he is rehabbing, he is furnishing his house with the fruit of the Spirit. And that is sanctifying, sanctification. So we're talking about identification, justification, sanctification, making us ever more useful and fruitful for him. Now, some only want to be rinsed with the water. But you understand that you can't really clean nothing with just water. Have you ever tried to clean something with just water? Now, don't get me wrong. You can rinse it off. You can make it look clean. But will it truly be clean? See, some of us only want to go down in the baptismal pool and think that's it. That's just getting rinsed with some water. But you got to understand the soap is the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, guess what? I've heard it many times. You're just taking a bath, right? You're just taking a shower. You're not really getting cleansed from the inside out. So we wonder why sometimes we do not feel the Holy Spirit in our lives. We wonder why we don't feel that gift, that promise that was promised to everyone. It's because you have not made the decision to let God really take hold on you. You made it give him some rental space in your house, but God doesn't work like that. Again, he bought you with a price. So let's talk a little bit about it. That's why God's house must be washed and brought forth and born from above by water and the Spirit. See, you're not just anybody's house. You're not just anybody's home. Christ wants your life to be his house. He wants to show off his essence abiding in you. So listen to this. You all know it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But I'm going to read it from, this is the Amplified Version. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience. That means not the ability just to wait, but how we act while we are waiting on the Lord. It is kindness, it is goodness, it is faithfulness, it is gentleness, it is self-control. We needed the gift of freedom through his Spirit. Now, we could talk about all the things that God gutted us of, but let's just act like, all right? Just act like God is taking us in, all right? Taking the world in, I would say, to see his crib, to see his house, to see his lifestyle living in you. What would he say?
I would say, he would say, open the doors.
Come on in. I'm going to show you.
Let me show you what it is to live in my house for a moment.
So he opens the doors and he says, all right, now look. You see, yeah, everybody's looking like, whoa, it's a big house. Whoa, that's a big fridge. And he says, yeah, you see that fridge? It was full of wrath before I got to it. When I first purchased this house, wrath was just falling all out of it. As soon as you open the door, it's wrath. You open up the freezer, it's bitterness. You can't close that freezer. I mean, there's bitterness in that
been so long, it's frozen.
And when I got hold of it, God says, I gutted it. I kicked all that out. I changed the pace. And I turned all that into joy. No more bitterness. No more not understanding what your blessings are. No more looking to other people and trying to figure out and compare your life to them. But it's about the joy you get from knowing that God is being rich in you, investing in you, and you in turn investing in him. See, God's proud of that. I don't know if I need to take this off, God is proud of that. God wants to be proud of you, so he's starting to take you through. He says, that couch, oh, that couch. Yeah, I know it looks beautiful now, but you know what was in it? Ooh, a lot of wrath. Yeah, that couch, it was no way you could sit on that couch before. When I first got into this house, oh, I'm talking about wrath. Y'all know something about wrath. You gotta feel my wrath. You cross me, you better feel my wrath. But God said, no, I washed him of that. I washed her of that. Amen. I kicked that couch out to the curb. Somebody else might have picked up that couch, but it's no longer in my house. No. Now it's love. And see, they don't return evil for evil. No. See, my house, that couch is made of love. And then he goes on to, oh man, that big screen TV on the wall. Y'all know the big screen TV, everybody has it. What is in that big screen TV? I would say it's a lot of selfishness in that TV. Well, when he first got it, big screen TV is selfishness. What do you have to do? He had to get rid of it. He had to kick it out of you. We know about selfishness. We understand selfishness. Oh, yeah. We're born with a selfish spirit almost because by nature, guess what? We have to have some bit of selfishness. That's why you see a baby not having to be taught. It's by instinct just to say, right? You don't got to teach a baby to do that. They do it. They will, guess what? They will try their best to survive. It's just in them. But there's a point where it becomes selfishness and you grow and you say, mine. And we forget that everything belongs to God. But God comes in our house. He cleanses of that attitude, that selfish attitude. And he says, no, you are just channels of my grace. And what I give to you, you are to share and be good managers of and be good stewards of to other people. Yeah, he walks off. He goes on into the bedroom. Yeah, nice king-size bed. That bedroom used to be full of quarreling and resentment. Oh, I'm talking about resentment where you can't get over stuff. Yeah, you had people in your life before you became a child of God, before you really started listening to the word of the Lord. You had people in your life where you just could not let go of things they might have done years and years ago. Yeah, but before God got to you, you know, that was cool, that was okay. But now that he's gotten hold to you, he wishes that to be gone. He kicks it out of his crib. He doesn't want it there. And what does he want to put there instead? Well, of course. I mean, you're talking about someone who's resentment. That means you need to have a forgiving spirit. Someone who's quick to forgive, who understands that you want God to forgive you as quickly as possible. So you learn to forgive other people as quickly as possible. You pray about it. That is what God sees in his crib after he gets a hold to it. Oh, man. Then he goes to the backyard, and it's that big old pool in the backyard. And that pool used to be full of drunkenness. Oh, yeah. Alcohol and any other thing that'll take your mind off the world. Yeah, before he got a hold of it. Before he got a hold of you, you know, it was just, every time you jump in that pool, you just forget about everything. But the problems were still there. You come to it and you're looking for it again. Jump back in there. Oh, but the Lord got a hold to that pool. He vacuumed all that alcohol up, vacuumed all those other things up, and he replaced it with his spirit. He replaced it with things that will truly tend to your better self, truly make you stand above and not underneath your problems, truly give you the power, knowing because it's not of yourself, but it's because the power in your reliance on God's power. Because we know when we are weak, that's when his power shows up the most. Yes, yes, yes. I'm talking about relying on him. So these are just some of the things that when we walk through your life, hopefully he can be showing the world these things, because that is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When he talks about you and letting your good works shine before people, he's not talking about to be a show off, but he's talking about so that God will get his glory from your life. So that other people can look and you don't say, I take the credit for myself. I worked this hard on me. You know, I read many of books and that's how I got this way. No, you give it to who it belongs to. It belongs to God. I don't care how many self-help books you read. I don't care. Those are nice, okay. But the real glory needs to go back to God. People need to see that God has made some changes in your life. He has, yeah, he purchased you. And you were all messed up probably when he purchased you. Some of us, you know, were more messed up than others, depending on how young you were when you come to Christ. Obviously, the later you are when you come to Christ, the more you got, you know, maybe on your tab, on your record. But either way, he cleansed you of it just the same. Amen. That's the crazy part, right? I don't care if you sinned once. I don't care if you were baptized when you were 8. I don't care if you were baptized when you were 88. Guess what? All of your past has been cleansed. And he wants that guilt to be off your conscience. And he wants you ever to be able to live a free life, a true free life. That's why the Bible says where the Spirit is, there is freedom. There is liberty. You can't be liberated to live the way God wants you to live if you're still slaves to those things that he wanted out your house or out his house a long time ago. So again, understand, you are God's dwelling place. Stop just waiting for, well, one day I'll be in heaven with the Lord. You got to understand, no, the reason why he died for you is not just so that you could be with him there, but so that you can live here, so that other people can hopefully live like that here, and the more the merrier will be with him later on. But right now, no. It's about him living in you. It's about you being his mobile home. It's about where you go, he's there. It's about you just having a fellowship with him, a unity of purpose and mind with him. Where you wake up in the morning, you say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to take some time with? How can I be a steward of my time, my talents, my treasures, so that you can get the most out of it? I know that's a hard attitude to have, right? Sometimes, like I say, when you allow that space, and I can't say it better than Jesus, but when Jesus said, hey, when demons get cleared out the house, y'all heard that? When a demon gets cleared out the house and you don't fill it up, you don't fill it up, you don't put better things in it, guess what? That same demon will end up coming back and he'll bring all his homies with him. Come on, we got a party in here. A lot of room in here. Because you have not fed on the word. You have not filled yourself up with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important. Listen, God knows us best. He wouldn't tell us something that we don't need. When he says, listen, allow yourself to be full of the Holy Spirit, he knows it's because we need that. If we do not allow ourselves to be totally consumed, you know what I mean? Where you have a song that you sing to keep your mind on the Lord and your true purpose. Where you have a prayer where you just have, I'm not talking about a prayer like one prayer a day or three times a day. I'm talking about where your life, you're just walking in prayer. You're walking and speaking to God. It doesn't have to be one moment or two moments a day. It is where you just are continually in communication with him. Yeah, that is the life that he wants to have with you. And I'm telling you, when you have that life, there's no life better. Amen. When you see problems coming, you just like, all right, Lord, what you want me to do with this, right? How do you want me to fall back? You take this? I mean, what do you want? It takes all the pressure off of you. There's so many things you get from letting God just live in you. But unfortunately, like I said, sometimes we make it harder than we have to. Where he's trying to clean stuff out of his house. He's trying to take things that don't belong there out of his house. And we are trying hard to leave it in there. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Let those people go. Sometimes it's people. Yeah, you okay, be around them as much as you have influence over them, but don't let them have influence over you. Those places, those places, okay, they might be cool to be with, but are they the best to be? Yeah, you know, everything's lawful, okay, but does that mean that there's certainly probably a better place to be than some other places, right? That's using wisdom. That's letting God work in you. And then there's those things, we just need to stay away from. Things that, yes, we know, it's clear in the word that we need to stay away from. Let it go. Run away from it. Because the Lord, again, he wants total. He wants total. Not partial, not just one room, not two rooms in the house. He wants total ownership of his house that he already paid for. And we owe him that. We owe him that. So again, it's not just him getting it. You are getting blessed from that. So I'm telling you, let that foul, polluted language go. Let that bitterness out of your life, that indignation, that wrath, the resentment, the quarreling, the jealousy, the selfishness, the drunkenness. And, you know, he calls it to have that sober mind. The attitude of, I just, you know, I gotta push. It's me. No, it's God. Let him fight your battles. Stop trying to fight, because guess what? Some things he will cause to come in your life because he knows they will bring you down. He knows they will almost defeat you. But it would only bring you to the point to hopefully relying back on the one you're supposed to rely on in the first place. The God of all grace, the God of all comfort. So again, if you don't get anything out of this lesson, understand that he wants his very essence to be carried in you. So whether you want to call it his mobile home, whether you want to call it, you know, you're just bearing his image with you, whatever, however you want to call it, either way, his image, he made you in his image, but guess what? He also puts his Holy Spirit in you so you could be conformed to his image, the image of Christ. So do you value the eternal gift of our union with God more than anything else? I hope so. Because if you do, then you could bear that essence. And that essence is the intrinsic nature or the indispensable quality of something that determines its character. So when we talk about bearing the essence of the Lord, we are talking about bearing the eccentric nature of God, sharing in that nature, that indispensable qualities, you know, qualities that just come with being God. Well, guess what? We can take part in that. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So again, look into your own life. Take this serious, my people. People of God, take it serious. How is God taking hold of you? How are you allowing him to cleanse your life, your home, of the things that don't need to be there? How are you allowing him to take hold of your time? Are you spending your time really for the Lord? Are you spending most of your time trying to gather more manna? You have to ask yourself those things. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have. There's nothing wrong with that. To have things, right? To be somewhat comfortable. Okay, I understand that. We all want that. But guess what? There needs to be something that matters more. So as much time as you spend, as much brain power as you spend trying to get, guess what? All the more you need to be trying to spend getting more from God. That's why he says, put the kingdom first and all else will be given unto you. All else will be added unto you. So again, I don't care. If you want to be rich, hey, want to be rich. But guess what? That means you need to be working even harder to be rich towards God. And that's how the proportion needs to be. So if you, that's, you just have to ask yourself those things. And those are the type of lessons that we need. We need those lessons where you are looking in yourself. Not looking to someone next to you, but looking in yourself. And seeing what needs to be there, what needs to go. and let God really continue to transform you into the image of his dear son. That's what he's calling us for. Maybe you haven't become a child of God yet. Maybe you just heard about God giving his son to die on the cross for you. Well, what you need to do in response to that, because yes, he did that for you, he wants you to obey him. Again, he paid your price. He did not wait for you to come to him. He already paid your price. He's just waiting for you to accept the gift. And how do you do it? Well, you do it by believing that he is the Son of God. Repenting, that means turning away from sin and turning towards him. Confessing that he is the Son of God, because he says, if you confess me here, I will confess you before my Father. And he says also, you must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. That represents your old self being buried, and you rise up to newness of life where God has control of you. If you want to do that today, come. I bid you to come. We will do that today. If you just need prayer, maybe you just, you know, you fell away from that image of God. Maybe you just haven't really cared about him living in you the way you should. Again, Christian means that you live in Christ. If I'm in Chicago, guess what? I'm called a Chicagoan. If I lived in Corinth, I was called a Corinthian. But when you live in Christ, you are called a Christian. Just live it out. Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need may be, come as we stand. We sing this song of invitation. I bid you to come.